The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Hour number four of our radio program, and this is Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports. You know, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, well, Rocket can. Hickey, I'm fired up for Saturday. Now, it's only Tuesday, and you may say, Zach, why are you fired up for Saturday? We got three games on Saturday. You got the Colts at the Vikings, and I know for you, that game really doesn't mean much because your football team stinks, but for the Vikings, this is actually like a big week for Minnesota, where you can't really do anything that makes people feel better about your football team, but you could definitely do something that makes people feel worse about your football team. And you saw 2 weeks ago, the Vikings played the Jets, who the Jets are a much better football team than the Indianapolis Colts. But that game, it looked like Minnesota for a little bit was going to run away with it, and then it got tight. And there was multiple opportunities in the fourth quarter where the Jets could have won that game, and Braxton Berrios dropped the football, and it was thrown a little bit behind him, but he got two hands on it. They were very close to losing that game. Minnesota this week, not that you should be afraid of Indianapolis. All they could do is run the football with Jonathan Taylor, and they got a solid defense. But you can't give them life, because if you allow Indianapolis, who's not a good team, to keep knocking on that door in the fourth quarter, they may eventually burst through. So I look at the Vikings this week, Hickey, as a team where I just want to see them go roll Indianapolis, which I know you don't want to see. But if this is a show next week on Monday, or if I'm an eye on football on Sunday, and I'm talking about Minnesota winning a game like 27-23, something like that, it just continues to make you think Minnesota is not as good as what their record says they are.
I do not want to win this game, number one, for the record. Number two.
About time. Welcome to the party.
I know the final score is... How do I word this?
I don't know. I don't know what you're trying to say.
I'm talking about the last time the Colts played, it was against the Cowboys. Now, they kept it close for three quarters and gave 33 unanswered points.
No, objectively, you guys gave a good effort for the first... I even texted you when it was like a 1 or 2 point game. I'm like, wow, Indianapolis actually, for the first time this year, somewhat impressing me. And then they allowed 33... nothing got outscored in that fourth quarter.
Yeah, it was very bad.
Was
so I was going to say, with that said, like, you should beat them pretty handily considering what Dallas did, but at the same time, like,
but
you
got to
be in this game, or you got to have a control of the game.
Yes.
If you're Minnesota throughout, without a doubt.
Go play with a 2-touchdown lead throughout the game.
And no
then if they get a touchdown late, then they get a touchdown late, and
right.
You only win by 7. You also have Baltimore and Cleveland. Now, we don't know who's going to play quarterback for the Ravens this week. Probably not going to be Lamar,
guys.
May not be Tyler Huntley, and then you're down to Anthony Brown.
Quarterback roulette.
And for the Browns, this is an intriguing game because two things. One, Watson has not looked good the last 2 weeks. And then number two, you start to think, is there a shot that Kevin Stefanski, if this gets really ugly down the stretch, they almost lost to the Texans, they lost to the Bengals, you play the Ravens, the Saints, the Commanders, and the Steelers. If they lose three out of those four remaining games and Watson doesn't look good, I wonder if Stefanski loses his job. I'm not saying it's likely, but I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities, Hickey.
There's always one surprise, firing, resignation, retirement a year, right? Could be the one.
That'd be a mild surprise.
That would be interesting, yeah. Like I said, especially if they collapse down the stretch. You think he should get a pass for 12 games of Deshaun Watson not being there, but...
Because even though your season's over, it is a new season when you get Watson back.
Right, and you want to see at least development. No shock he struggled against the Texans when you haven't played in, 700 days? You want to see, like I said, development between week, at that point, 13, and then week 18.
And then on Saturday night, this is the best game of that Saturday slate, you get the Miami Dolphins going to Buffalo. But that's a game where it's a statement game for Buffalo. Not that they have too many statement games in the regular season, but you lost to Miami earlier. You could clearly make it known, and you're expected to win the AFC East, that you are going to win the AFC East if you win this game. But then you probably do so anyway, even if you lose, because the Dolphins already have 5 losses and they have 3, so this would drop them down to 4. But on Miami's side, no one thinks they're going to win the game. No one thinks Miami is going to win this game right now. Like, I'm not saying the players in the locker room don't, but if you're a Dolphins fan, you can't be confident, even though you won the game earlier in the season. What was that, like week 3 or 4 or whatever? But this Dolphins team, probably going to be snow on Saturday night in Orchard Park, and a lot of it, it's always timing too. 2 bad performances by Tua, and now Tua could be going and playing in the snow. Not encouraging.
No, not whatsoever. But here's a chance for Tua.
Yes.
It's a chance to almost completely erase the last 2 weeks. Not completely.
If you win.
But if you win and you play well.
If you win, yes. I would say that that does wipe away the really bad performance against the 49ers and then the even worse performance against the Chargers. Because this is a divisional rival, and what people perceive as maybe before the season, not right now, but the best team in the NFL on paper. Now, I didn't also tell you what I'm doing on Saturday, but I'm really excited for
this. I was going to say, there's no way you're excited for a 1 o'clock Vikings-Colts standalone game, or even, Ravens-Browns, not a lot of intrigue either.
I'm making a little trip to the Poconos early Saturday, and I'm going to my favorite wing spot. In Buffalo, my favorite wing spot is Barbill, but my favorite wing spot ever is BVH, Barryville Hotel. I'm going to Barryville, New York, in the Pocono area. Not that far from, I'm making a stop some of the Poconos first and then making the 20-minute drive to Barryville. But I'm going there, and I'm going to be watching the games, and I'm going to be having those Johnny Hot Wings. And this is going to be a real fattening weekend. I will be in the gym. I was at the gym yesterday. I was at the gym today. I will be at the gym Wednesday. I will be at the gym Thursday. And I will be at the gym on Friday. Because Saturday, even after coming off the holiday and everything, which is, this has been a fattening time ever since Thanksgiving until through Christmas and the new year. But Saturday, I'm meeting 2 friends of mine. They're going to pick me up in Millburn, New Jersey. And we're going to go to Millburn Deli, which has the famous Godfather sandwich. Now, I did better management probably than Josh McDaniels has done all season with the Raiders. I said to my friends, maybe I will... And this is shocking coming from me. I said, maybe we'll split a Godfather sandwich. It's a big chicken cutlet sandwich. To go from chicken cutlet sandwich at like noon, let's say, and then go and devour wings, that's a lot of food in one day. And then also you got to get the ice cream cake at BVH as well. The peanut butter ice cream cake.
Are you going out there, which is not a short drive?
It's not that far. It's to get to the... It's a 30-minute train, and then it's like a 90-minute drive from Millburn to where I'm going.
So,
the group of friends.
2 hours.
Yeah.
Each way.
Yeah.
Just wings and just a sandwich.
Yeah.
Some more.
Bunch of us. Like, it's like what I would do. Got like an 8-9-person crew, and we're going to watch games on Saturday. Day trip. Now I'm not driving, which is good.
Wow.
Yeah. I assigned other people to drive, so I could have a few drinks here and there.
So that lets you know that the food is that great where you're going 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
On a Saturday, there and back each way for some wings and a cutlet sandwich. Wowza.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. You did drive, 2 hours to Philadelphia this past weekend?
Yes, sir.
You guys drove or took the train?
Drove.
Okay.
Now, for a wedding.
Yeah, but waste of a trip to Philadelphia.
Waste of a trip.
It was. You didn't get a cheesesteak. What's wrong with you?
I didn't have an opportunity.
What do you mean you didn't have an opportunity? You're in Philadelphia.
There was a night wedding.
Okay.
The ceremony went long.
What time did you leave Sunday morning?
Sunday morning was rough.
Because you went hungover?
Very hungover.
Okay.
We left at like 1 o'clock, but I slept till probably 12.
Wait. You left at 1 p.m.?
Yes.
What time did the Colts play?
They're off.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They're on a bye week.
Bye week.
So you had a... What do you mean you didn't have the time? Hungover? You didn't leave till 1 o'clock? That is perfect cheesesteak.
I couldn't. I had to go to a bagel store like a block away. I couldn't make
it. You got a bagel in Philadelphia?
I don't want to gross anyone out, but I will say.
Bagel was horrible, right? Compared to New York City.
It was not very good.
You could have got a cheesesteak, dude. You were staying in Center City, Philadelphia. I'm sorry. There's been bad coaching decisions this year in the NFL.
I was in no position to Sunday morning make a move to get a cheesesteak.
What do you mean you were in no position?
I was exhausted. I was hungover. I was not in the mood.
You're not in the mood. Cheesesteak hangover move.
There's nowhere near
you. You know
me.
What you are? You are the Josh McDaniels when it comes to food.
I would disagree.
Oh, disagree?
Disagree.
Dude, that is one of the all-time blunders I've ever heard. It's not as if you were rushing to get back somewhere. You couldn't get off your ass and walk Uber Eats? Wait, but now hold on. What'd you do late night after the wedding? If you were that hammered, you didn't
passed
Uber
out.
You didn't Uber Eats anything?
We ordered McDonald's and I fell asleep before I got there.
So you Uber Eats something and it's McDonald's over a cheesesteak when you're in Philadelphia?
There's some places that were closed. It was late at night.
You should have
1 a.m. probably.
Me. Oh, please. I've done that before. Wedding in Philadelphia, 1 a.m. Oregon Steaks. Boom. They're open all the time.
Well, it wouldn't have mattered because I fell asleep and wouldn't have been awake for it.
So your girlfriend had all the food.
She fell asleep too.
So how'd the food get there?
My sister was there.
Oh.
Family affair. So she was the one who was awake to get it. She enjoyed it. But
oh, wait. Were your parents at this wedding?
They were.
You couldn't send mom and dad out hungover Saturday morning, Sunday morning to go get some cheesesteaks?
No, I wouldn't do that to them. I'm a grown adult. I can get my own food.
Doesn't sound that way. Jeez.
I'm not going to send them out to go get me something.
I'm actually pissed at you. Because you told me yesterday, I just didn't have time to get a cheesesteak. You didn't give me those details.
I was on 3 hours of sleep. So by the time like everything ended, I was just ready to crash.
That's horrible.
And then the next morning, I was in bed. And then the next thing you know, checkout's going. We got to go. I was like,
it was 1 o'clock.
Checkout's at 12. I got to get out of the room, get the...
Yeah, okay. So before you get on the turnpike to go, oh, stop. That's... You even got food and it wasn't a cheesesteak.
I was not in the mood for cheesesteak.
It's the perfect hangover food. You're so peculiar. You really are. You are one of one. I will tell you that. You are so bizarre.
Listen, I would love a cheesesteak. Don't get me wrong. They're delicious. I don't hate them. I love them.
I'm sorry.
But.
You, man. I'm trying to. You're like the Urban Meyer of cheesesteak ordering. If you compare Urban Meyer's NFL coaching career. That's
horrible. Urban Meyer.
Yeah. You're disgraceful. You are disgraceful.
I'm not an embarrassment to the organization.
No,
okay?
Yes, you are.
No,
you're an embarrassment to this show. That's terrible.
I do.
That is terrible. Mean? I'm going to start calling you coat tight.
Oh,
okay?
My. That is. Oh. This is too far.
You are horrible. Other early week 15 look-aheads. You know what I'm really excited for? And I never thought I would say this before the start of the season. Tell me the Lions offense against the Jets defense is a must-watch this weekend at 1 o'clock.
I'm jacked up. Like, honestly, I'm excited.
And I'm not kidding.
This is going to be a really good game.
Other things, I'm curious how the Patriots' offensive attack is going to be against the Raiders. Because against the Vikings, they threw the ball down the field. Mac Jones played his best game of the year. Against the Bills, refused to do so. The play calling. Last night, really annoyed at Matt Patricia. Refused to really get him involved. And throw the ball down the field. You're going up against this slap, you know what, defense of the Raiders. You, Matt Patricia. And there's four games on Ion Football in the 4 o'clock window. We're going to have a lot of Matt Patricia ripping if he's not throwing the ball down the field. Getting Mac Jones to throw the ball down the field.
What if the Patriots lose that game?
It's possible. It's not out of the realm of possibilities. They could lose any game that's on their schedule.
I mean, Josh McDaniels getting the best.
Did you watch him last night?
I did.
Josh McDaniels has beat Belichick once in his career when he was the head coach of the Broncos. That's when McDaniels was actually thought to be a good head coach.
Was that part of the 6-0 start in Denver?
I'm pretty sure.
Had to, because I think from there it's like, what, three wins total the next year and a half?
It wasn't that good after that. Tennessee and the Chargers actually a good game too. Because both of those teams, it's like, You don't feel great about either, and you don't know which team shows up week in and week out. But that's a big test for the Chargers defense in terms of going up against Derrick Henry. We'll see how much that defense actually did improve, because they were awesome on Sunday night.
And can you put, here's a thought, two good games together for the Chargers? And they took one step forward last Sunday.
Yeah, and usually when they take one step forward, they take two steps backwards.
Find a way to mess it up.
Bengals in Tampa Bay?
Yeah, any juice for that one?
It's
a month ago, I'd say
it's
yes.
More confidence in Cincinnati. Like, Cincinnati's a better team there. But can Brady pull a rabbit out of his hat? Yeah, I guess. And then Giants-Commanders on Sunday night is going to be wonderful. I think the Commanders. I think the Commanders are better than the Giants. You? Even though they just tied a few weeks ago.
And they will win this game.
And have you seen what the Monday night game is this week?
Yes. Rams-Packers.
Baker.
You see the big injury news from today. John Wolford. Not that it's a surprise. Not expected to play.
Yeah, but Baker's starting.
Clear in the way.
You see what Baker did?
Oh, we saw.
They're down 16-3. Boom, 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 boom. Josh McDaniels. Take
close out a game, Josh.
And then you'll get a disgruntled Aaron Rodgers in prime time. I actually hope that the Rams beat up on the Packers and then we get to see Jordan Love a little bit. That's just me. 855-212-4CBS. Let me take John in New York next up on the Zach Gelb Show. John, what do you say?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Doing great, John. What do you got?
I honestly think that the New York Jets quarterback situation is in shambles.
In shambles? Well, Zach Wilson's not a franchise quarterback, but you know, Mike White's been serviceable.
I think they should target Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson's going to be a Jet.
Well, yeah, and guess what? I also want to marry Beyonce, but that doesn't always happen, John. All right? Just because you want something, why would the Ravens, and I think it's possible maybe a year from now, but they're probably going to franchise tag Lamar after this season. And then after that, if you don't get a deal done this offseason, then a year from now he could be available. But for next year, the Jets, it's either going to be, do you go back to Zach Wilson, which I don't think is going to happen. Maybe you start Mike White week one, or do you bring in the Jimmy Garoppolos of the world? That's like what you're kind of deciding, right? One of those three guys next year, Hickey, will be the Jets quarterback. Would you agree with that? Jimmy Garoppolo, Zach Wilson, or Mike White? Anyone else you could throw in there?
I'm just trying to think. Like, do you want to get wild? Can we throw Aaron Rodgers in the mix?
I still think Aaron Rodgers could be back in Green Bay.
I'm trying to think. Anyone
Derek
else
Derek Carr?
We can get?
No thanks. You want to bring Jacoby Brissett in as a backup?
No. Yeah.
Like, he could be a backup?
Like, realistically, that is, like, worth the upgrade, worth the draft
not
capital
Matt Ryan,
you give up
not
on.
Not Carson Wentz?
No, yeah, no. Yeah, Derek Carr doesn't, I mean.
Well, how about this one?
Get to the playoffs, I guess.
How about this one? I'll throw one out there.
Ooh.
That you're not going to like.
I'm not going to like.
Well, you don't like this player, and I don't really like this player either.
Ooh.
What happens if Brady goes to the Titans? If you thought I was saying Brady to the Jets, please. You're more delusional than and stupid than your cheesesteak ordering snafu this weekend. What about Ryan Tannehill?
No.
It is an upgrade.
Honestly.
It's
an upgrade, but how much?
Mike White. Ryan Tannehill.
He's got to give up something
for him. Ryan Tannehill is not bad. He's not great. He's not bad.
You got to give up something for him, and he's getting a whole hell of a lot more money than Mike White is.
Oh, do you have to give up something for him?
He'd be under contract.
But if they go out there and get Brady, I wonder if they would just release him outright. Let's see. The dead cap next year is $18 million. I'm just trying to see if there's any clauses here in the contract.
Like Carson Wentz, I will say, for all the bashing that you give of him, mostly rightfully so, but for two third-round picks.
Yeah, because
so
it's the Commanders.
I get the Commanders, and maybe that's just the reason, you know, their desperateness, but like fourth-round pick for Tannehill?
Yeah.
I don't think I'd do it if I'm the Jets.
Fourth-round pick? What's a fourth-round pick?
Keep Mike White the cheaper option, get some money elsewhere, get a better, you know, offensive line around him.
Yeah, I was just throwing it out there.
Some Mike White magic.
I'll stand by what I'll say. It'll either be Mike White, Zach Wilson, or Jimmy Garoppolo next year for the Jets. When we come on back, you will hear from Bob Stoops as we remember the life of Mike Leach, who unfortunately yesterday did pass away at the age of 61.
listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It's a somber day on The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio as you remember Mike Leach, who, of course, did coach at Texas Tech, Washington State, and most recently compiled an 8-4 record at Mississippi State this past football season. And unfortunately, we lost coach last night. And if I had to take you back to 1999, Bob Stoops actually hired Mike Leach to be his OC on Stoops' first staff at Oklahoma. And Bob Stoops is kind enough to join us right now on CBS Sports Radio. Coach, first off, I wish we were talking under better circumstances. Really appreciate you doing this, and just wanted to send my condolences to you and your family on the passing of your friend in Mike Leach.
Yeah, it's a really sad day, and thank you. But people just say prayers, and continue to pray for Sharon and his children, in the Mississippi State community. That's a terrible few days, definitely, and we're going to all miss them.
I know that this all feels surreal, and it clearly doesn't even feel real yet, but when you hear the name Mike Leach, just what comes back to mind with all those memories you have?
Just an incredible individual, just I know a lot of people say someone's one of a kind. He truly is the definition of one of a kind, just a totally unique person, and, just going to miss the conversations, going to miss seeing him and visiting with him, and he was a notorious night owl, so I'm gonna miss those midnight phone calls that go to 1:32 in the morning, and none of it's talked about football. Just you smile when I think of him. We all do that know him.
And that's the thing, we all can admire what he did as a football coach, but he was just a regular man and never got too big for his own britches, obviously. And you're right, Coach. He could talk about anything.
All the time. And, you never knew where the conversation was going to go. And then when he started pontificating about it, you'd sit there and just listen for 15 minutes before you were able to chime in. But it was beautiful. And, very insightful guy. And, we're all going to miss him.
If you had to describe his impact on the game of college football that I know you love so much, just how would you describe that impact to someone?
Oh, it's huge. You just look at the air raid offense that you have to give Hal Mumme some credit here, too. He and Hal were joined at the hip through Valdosta State and Iowa Wesleyan before going to Kentucky. And, and when I got to Oklahoma, I couldn't hire Hal Mumme, but I thought if they can do that at Kentucky, why can't we do it here at Oklahoma? And so I called Hal and said, hey, can Mike do what you guys have been doing there at Kentucky here at Oklahoma? And he didn't hesitate. He said, absolutely. So I got to talking to Mike and we hired him here. And I think, with our we took off here, and then Mike, I think we made it popular maybe a little bit more at Oklahoma. And then when Mike goes to Tech and continues to move the ball and score it, so efficiently that it became popular. And then more college teams are doing it. It spread like wildfire through the Texas high school teams. And then now it's already branched up into the NFL, certain segments of it. So he had a huge impact, but it started with he and Hal Mumme together. And then Mike, again, we made it a little, a little more noticeable here at Oklahoma and Mike at Tech.
When you were picking that first staff at Oklahoma and you talked about that relationship and you were the DC at Florida and he was the OC at Kentucky, what else really drew you to say, okay, that was the guy that we're going to go with?
Well, biggest pain in my neck was dealing with Kentucky when I was the D coordinator at Florida. And And you look at all the stats, the offensive stats, they were in the top 2-3 in about every category. So, you know, I thought, again, why, if they can do it there, why can't we do it here at Oklahoma and be something different? No one else in this league or no one else around the country was moving the ball around that way, spreading it out and throwing it like we were, you know, sideways and vertically. And so, you know, I fortunately made the right decision to, I'm going to bring that style of offense here to Oklahoma, and it worked.
Bob Stoops here with us as we remember Mike Leach, who unfortunately did pass away last night. You talk about that Oklahoma team in that lone year together, 1999, your familiarity with him. He then quickly becomes a head coach after that 1 year at Oklahoma, gets the Texas Tech job. Did his success at all surprise you, or was it pretty clear, okay, what you had that 1 year together, that this guy could really accomplish a lot?
Oh, no, I wasn't surprised at all. I thought it was a really smart hire by Texas Tech, though I didn't want to lose Mike that quickly. But he got us started, and I knew I had some guys that could, with Coach Mangino and his background and bringing a quarterback guy in like Chuck Long, that I could weather the storm of losing Mike. But I didn't want to lose him, but I knew Tech had hired a great coach, and they were going to be Mike would do a great job there, and he did. And even though we had a lot of big battles together, we remained very, very close friends. And we always had great respect for one another and really, always stayed in touch.
What stood out to you the most in that 1 year working together? Because there's one thing to think that you're getting someone that's really special, but then you find out a lot more about them when you're working day in and day out with someone.
Mike was really smart in that he knew there's a lot of good football plays out there, but you can't run them all. So he was going to be great and efficient and disciplined at what he ran, period. And someone might bring up a great play that someone else is running that seemed like it would fit. And he would agree. He'd say, you know what? That is a great play. But then he'd say, but we're not running it. So, like, yeah, that's a great play for them, but we're not running it. Because that other school might know all the ins and outs of that play. We're not going to run it not knowing every single detail about it. So the beauty of Mike was minimal play sheet, minimal number of plays, but we're going to be better running them than you're going to be defending them.
There's so many great Mike Leach stories, but I think this one is number one for me. 1999, you talk about the play sheet. Tell the story to the listening audience about the fake play sheet that Mike did drawn up and dropped on the field through Trent Smith before Red River between Oklahoma and Texas.
Yeah, I had no idea. I found out later, a week later, not even right after the game, but he had Trent Smith go out with a play call sheet, like the first 10 plays or first 12 plays, and he had Trent running around and act like he was tucking it in his belt and lets it slip and intentionally lets it slip through the belt. And he's near, I don't know if he's near the Texas bench or he's near a couple of Texas, whether it be grad assistants or one of their managers, whoever. And then someone was across the way looking to see if anyone picked it up. And sure enough, the kid picks it up, looks around, and he doesn't see anyone looking at him. So he goes scurry into the Texas locker room. So they took the bait and lo and behold, I mean, in the first quarter, we're up 17-0. So it must have worked to some degree. That's just one of Mike's tricks.
My favorite part about that, because the head coach usually knows everything, is that he was able to do it and you did not know about it. You said you found out about a week later. How'd you find out?
I don't know. The guys, I think some of the other coaches were talking about it. And I go, what the hell happened? And they told me. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And but so be it. There was water under the dam by that point. So yeah, there's nobody like him. He's special. He's truly one of a kind. So we're going to all miss him.
And it's going to be a day of celebration. I know it's going to be sad as well. On January 2nd, I saw Mississippi State said they're going to play to honor their football coach in that bowl game up against Illinois.
You know how this goes. Obviously, you have your family, then you have your football family, and often they intertwine. I can't imagine what his football family's going through, and then also his real family as well.
No doubt. I mean, that's what I said. Just pray for Sharon and their children and Mississippi State program. No doubt. Mike would want them to play. You know that. That is not to even be discussed. He would not stand for them not to be out there playing and competing. Just hard. I don't know. You know, it's been a tough few days.
Last thing I'll ask you, Coach Bob Stoops, and I really do appreciate you carving out the time. Let's just say in 15, 20 years, someone comes up to you and they ask you to just reminisce and really just describe to them who Mike Leach was. How do you do that?
Well, you walk in his office and it's all football and it's on a Monday night. It's 11 o'clock at night and I'm dying to go home. I'm tired. And I sit there and I'm lectured for an hour about Geronimo. It has nothing to do with playing Texas the next week. Or I'm going to sit there and I got everything I need to know about Geronimo in that hour. And that's just Mike. He could school you about anything. And he was so interested in everything and researched everything. It was the best. But that's what I got from my OC. On a Monday night when we're all talking football, he wants to talk about Geronimo.
One of a kind. There is no doubt about it. And we're going to miss Coach Mike Leach. Coach Bob Stoops, really do appreciate the time. And once again, my condolences to you and your family.
And to the Leach family in Mississippi State. Everyone continue to pray for him. Thank you.
Once again, appreciate Bob Stoops joining us on the day after we find out that, unfortunately, Mike Leach did pass away last night at the age of 61. And just one of those guys where you hear all the stories, and usually when it's a football coach, you think most of the stories are going to be football-related. Mike Leach, anytime he held court, anytime it was a press conference, an interview, you never knew what you were going to get other than it was just going to be something that was really entertaining and most of the time had nothing to do with football. And he could had that unique ability to just find a way to be able to make conversation with anyone and have that conversation be relatable to anyone, football fan or not. And someone that the football world, we're obviously going to miss him for the lives that he touched and also for everything he did for the game with the air raid offense. And you saw it in the multiple stops as a head coach at Texas Tech, at Washington State, most recently at Mississippi State. But really, that personality of Mike Leach is what people are going to miss the most.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio, remembering Mike Leach, who unfortunately did pass away at the age of 61. We've been talking all throughout the show how he's more than just a football coach, and he is the farthest thing from a traditional football coach with all the gems that he gave us in the media and just talking in general in interviews. And we put together a little montage that we wanted to play back for you. Once again, a lot of this audio courtesy of the SEC Network and ESPN, but these are some of the memorable gems throughout the years as we remember Mike Leach.
My favorite weather pattern happens to be when it rains mud. Dust comes through, rain on top of it, it rains mud. This weather report here, what do I know? I'm a football coach. I suggest you go out and do what I do. Get out of bed, go outside, then you know.
Got your coffee. Yeah. It is early. How do you take your coffee? What's the best way to take your coffee?
Well, coffee tastes terrible anyway, so don't put anything in it to obstruct the harsh, bitter taste, then just put it down one sip at a time, you know?
So it's just all about the effect, the taste. It's not about the experience at all. It's about the outcome.
No, the experience is terrible.
I mean, I completely ate candy corn. when I was a kid, well, gummy bears, let's see. Gummy bears for sure.
Sour or regular?
The Haribo. It's got to be the Haribo ones. And then the other thing I like is when they used to have the sprees in a box. Outstanding. You have to go to the dollar store to find it, but I do. And then the latest, you know, there's still candy innovation, although a while back I found that Europe had better candy than we did overall because they have gummy everything. And then, you know, they have those Nerds clusters, which is new.
With the gummy.
Yeah, which is good. The Nerds clusters is good. And then if you go chocolate, probably Almond Joy.
You've been speaking to the officials all night. What's your reaction to some of those calls in the first half?
What's your reaction? You're watching the same game I am. I think you ought to comment on it positive or negatively, whatever's running through your mind.
This in Starbucks, this is the stuff in-house here, which... it's all right, but we're going to see if it kills ants. We got these fire ants out here. They're kind of resurfacing a little bit. I actually have no material to support the fact that this works, but this is strictly an experimental deal. I don't know. Maybe, yeah, it could turn into super ants.
As coaches, we failed to get through to them. As coaches, we failed to make our coaching points and our points more compelling than their fat little girlfriends. Now, their fat little girlfriends have some obvious advantages. For one thing, their fat little girlfriends are telling them what they want to hear, which is how great you are and how easy it's going to be and how, we had a whole bunch of people. Everybody wanted to win the football game, but nobody wanted to play the football game. Well, that defies every level of work ethic that exists with regard to football. And as coaches, we have to solve our failure on reaching them, and the players have to listen. And I'm willing to go to fairly amazing lengths to try to make that happen. I don't know if I'll be successful this week or not, but you know, I am going to try, and there will be some people inconvenienced. And if it happens to be their fat little girlfriends, too bad.
I hope there's Bigfoot. I don't think there is. The reason I don't think there is because we found bones of dinosaurs and everything else, but we haven't found bones that I've heard of Bigfoot. Aliens, I suspect there is, and I don't know that they're they're little green men, and I don't know that they're specifically in our galaxy. I don't know that they would just be hostile mutants and the rest, you know. They might look... remarkably like us, where style-wise or something, they evolved a different direction. Maybe buildings, cars, different. Who knows? You know. But I certainly wouldn't rule out. I certainly wouldn't rule out life somewhere else other than just Earth. Because see, to me, that seems like a lot less of a stretch than the notion that we're the only one. We're the only one special enough that lightning struck a puddle of mud, or we're the only one special enough that God cares about enough to have life on this planet. Say, I don't believe that. I mean, everybody wants to be special, but I don't think we're that special.
I said it earlier, I'll say it again. When you just hear all those clips and the montage as we remember Mike Leach, obviously it's a sad day. And obviously we remember the man and the coach and the person that he was. But when you listen to those audio gems and those quotes, I all I could do right there is just smile. Because he provided us so many of those moments throughout the years. Rest in peace to Mike Leach, obviously. Unfortunately, left us way too soon at the age of 61. Let's get to the closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces. DoD veterans and their families are members of the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. How about Ravens linebacker Roquan Smith had a huge day on Sunday, recording a sack and an interception as Baltimore beat the Steelers 16-14. Smith finished the game with six tackles, one tackle for loss, and two pass deflections as the Ravens picked off Mitch Trubisky three times en route to their ninth win on the year. Give a stock up to Roquan Smith. Brooklyn Nets have won four games in a row. Last night they beat the Wizards 112-100, and Kevin Durant had 30 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. Give a stock up to KD. Mavericks and Thunder last night. Mavericks get the victory, but how about the show between Luka Doncic and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander? Luka, 38 points, 11 rebounds, and 8 assists, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander,
42 points and 3 steals. Give a stock up to both Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and also Luka Doncic. Dame Dalla time. 38 points last night, was 11 of 17 from behind the arc as Portland takes care of the Minnesota Timberwolves, a buck 33 to 112. The Timberwolves 13 and 14 on the year. We thought they'd be better than that as the Trailblazers improved to 15 and 12. Give Dame Dalla a stock up. T.Y. Hilton back in the NFL. The Dallas Cowboys. Cole Beasley going back to Buffalo. How about that? Give them both a stock up. And also, just on a different note, this whole Odell Beckham Jr. show. Last week when it was revealed that Micah Parsons said, oh yeah, Odell told him that he's going to not be ready for another 5 weeks. Hickey, has there been more of a fuss about nothing than Odell Beckham? Oh, no, the guy's a tremendous player when he's healthy. And he showed that he still had stuff left in the tank in L.A. But he ain't playing in the regular season. So I guess could there be some team that's desperate to bring him in divisional weekend or wild card weekend? I guess, but... Jeez, it seems like there was a whole lot made about that with really nothing to show for it because it just isn't ready.
I'm so happy we're done talking about this.
Yeah. So give a stock down to Odell Beckham. Sell! Jerry Sullivan, wasn't he the guy last year that people were getting on for asking some question about the defense to the Bills? Well, he's a reporter in Buffalo, and he said today, the worst fans really are the women. They don't get critical journalism. They're all wannabe cheerleaders. What a moron you are. And I thought Molly Walker, who covers the NHL, I believe for the New York Post. Yeah, the New York Post. She quote tweeted that and said, tell me you have never been with a woman without telling me you've never been with a woman. What a great response. Give a stock down to one Jerry Sullivan. And then finally, Arizona Cardinals. Kyler Murray, torn ACL, lost the rest of the season, maybe all of next season or most of next season too, depending on the recovery time. And who knows what's going to happen to Cliff Kingsbury. Just a bad season for the Arizona Cardinals. Give them a stock down. And that's the Zach Gilb Show on CBS Sports Radio. That's all the time we have today. Big thanks to Bob Stoops for joining us to remember the life of Mike Leach and also Glover Quinn stopping by as well. Big thanks to all the callers, listeners, and tweeters. You can always give me a follow on Instagram and Twitter at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB. And we'll do it all again tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. We out. Bye-bye. Rest in peace to the pirate, Mike Leach.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.